our series that we started last Sunday called The Times. I know this subject is sobering. I know it is, kind of difficult listening, processing, and trying to, figure out just exactly what God is speaking to us. But I'm really convicted today and convinced today that we must know. We must know exactly what it is that God is doing and exactly what is happening in the world. Last week, we brought a message called Aware, and we talked about the battle that's going on, the war right now in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine, and I'm not going to rehearse that today. You can catch up on YouTube and listen there, and I've had so many emails and texts and messages this week regarding the word last week, and I appreciate your feedback, and I want to go just a little step further today. I'm, as mentioned, I'm not going to recap that today, other than to say Jesus loved and loves that land, and really it all boils down to the fact that he made a promise and he established a covenant, and the rest of the world is trying to make a liar out of him. And I don't know what you believe, but I believe the Bible that says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word is going to stand forever. And his word is going to stand forever. But we know that Jesus is ultimately going to win this battle. But these events and the things that are happening in the news, they are causing us to ask the question, is this the end? Is Jesus about to return? Is he going to come back soon? And this is not a new question. This is not something that is new on the minds of believers or even unbelievers for that matter. And I want to talk about some of those things today. Matthew 24, if you have your Bibles and want to meet me there, it'll also be on the screen for you to follow along. If you're taking notes, I think you're going to want to write some of this down so that you can just kind of spend time in devotion this week and study as well. I want to give you a good bit of information. I'm going to read probably more verses than I normally would, but I think it will help with the understanding of these times. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Lord, we're amazed by these buildings. We're amazed by these structures. Have you seen these temples? I mean, this is incredible what has been built. It's unbelievable what has been erected here. Did you see this? And Jesus responds, do you see all these things? Do you see all these buildings? He asked. Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. He was prophesying a time to come. And in fact, about 40 years later, General Titus would come through and he would literally throw the stones down. There's pictures of the stones that still lie there to this day. Stones that were thrown down in battle. Jesus' word, again, exactly true and right. Verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Lord, here's what we're really wanting to ask you. Here's what we're really wanting to know. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? When will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. He's already giving signs. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted. What? I believe it's very possible that in my lifetime, preachers will be put in jail for preaching things like this right here. You say, you know, don't get dramatic on us. No, it's already happening in other countries. We watched it happen in Canada just in the last year and a half. It's already happening. I believe very, very easily that kind of persecution is going to come. You're going to be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And then he gets to what is the saddest part, in my opinion, because I can do nothing about earthquakes. I can do nothing about war in my own power. I can do nothing about some of these natural signs that we see happening. But then he says in verse 10, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. I can't do anything about earthquakes, but maybe we can help someone and keep them from being lost in their faith. And he said, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because the increase, verse 12, the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Because of the increase of wickedness. I don't know if you're paying attention. Unless you're sleeping under a rock, you know that wickedness is increasing. It's unbelievable that in every major city in America, crime is just through the roof. And it's you know, Lord, give us that old crime again. You know, just the simple. No, now, I mean, it's unbelievable, the brutal and the gruesome and the wicked. But he said, because of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. What do you mean the love of most is going to grow cold? That's confounding to me. Well, when you look at the statistics boggle my mind. Statistics say that 70% of Christian men will look at porn. 40% of Christians do not read the Bible even once a month. Many, many people do not believe the Bible to be inerrant or you know, it's absolute and it's certain. To too many people, it's just, well, I mean, it's a nice opinion. I'll consider it if it fits, you know, what I'm wanting to do. He said, because of the increase of wickedness. That's why we're preaching the truth today. That's why we are declaring the whole counsel of God today. That's why if you're among the 70% or the 40% or the many today, you're not by yourself. We're here to help you. We're here to walk with you. We're here to help you overcome and to be victorious in your life and to stand firm, because that's what verse 13 says. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I don't know about you, but I'm planning to be saved. I know the enemy's trying his very best. I know the enemy's throwing every attack. The enemy's knocking down my closet. The enemy's trying everything he can do to get my victory, but I refuse to throw in the towel. I'm going to worship the Lord and magnify him and bless him and live for him and stay faithful to him no matter what happens in the world. No matter who stays on the bus, no matter who gets off the bus, I'm going to stay on the bus and let Jesus drive me all the way to glory. Anybody else on the same bus with me today? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached, verse 14, in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Multiple times Jesus references as a sign of the times. Again, I'm not going to talk to you today about blood moons or about some of these, I hesitate to say peripheral things or external things or even some of the natural things, because I want you to make sure that you get this. He talks over and over, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Many preachers, many false prophets coming to deceive. Can I tell you something about deception? It's easy to spot deception in others and very easy to miss it in ourselves. It's easy to see the wrong in others and miss completely the wrong in us. It's easy to judge everyone else and just let ourselves off scot-free. Jesus does not want us to be deceived in the last days. And he said there are challenging times. There are difficult times. There are hard times coming when you're going to hear voices that you may have one time respected or admired or valued. And they're going to come preaching another gospel. They're going to come saying things that sound pretty much true, but there's just this little bit of something on that isn't quite setting correct in my spirit. He said, you got to run from that. You got to get away from that. You've got to depart from that. You have to shut that down in your life, because I don't want you to be deceived. And then look at verse 36. He says, about that day or hour, no one knows. He's still answering the question of the disciples. When is this going to happen? Give us the sign of your coming. Tell us when you are coming. And he says, that day, that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. I don't have time to preach today the story of Noah, but Noah was building an ark. He was building for 120 years. He was building and building and building, and every day people were passing by. Why are you building a boat, Noah? I want you to be saved. I need you to get on this boat. I need you to get into this ark, because this ark represents salvation. There are challenging days ahead. There are tough times coming. There is difficulty. Wickedness is on the rise. But as it was in the days of Noah, they just kept eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It just seemed like normal times. That is the concern, is that we just see things happening and we hear things going on in the news and we just say, well, that's Tuesday. That's just another Wednesday in our world. That's just another war. That's just another skirmish. That's just another, failure. That's just another, I don't know. We're just going to keep on living life and go to school and go to work and cut the grass and walk the road. We're just going to keep doing normal things. And Jesus said, that's exactly the day I return. It's going to be exactly like that. It's going to catch people unaware because they are not prepared. For in the days of the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house to be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. He compares or relates his coming to how a thief comes in the night, doesn't announce his coming, doesn't knock on the door on Thursday and say, hey, just wanted you to know that on Friday at 3 a.m., I'm going to break into your house. No, if they announced they were coming, you'd be sitting up in your recliner just loaded down, just prepared every kind of way. The same principle, if you knew Jesus was coming at a certain time, man, there would be no sin in your life. There would be no jealousy in your heart. There would be no perversion in your mind. There would be no in it. You'd just be sitting holy, just ready, just you know, snacking on communion wafers and just, you know, just in prayer. And Jesus said, I'm not going to tell you the exact time. What I need you to do is live ready. I need you to stay ready. I need you to live prepared. It's not wise to live your life doing anything your flesh wants to do and then hope you somehow don't miss the coming of the Lord. So here's the first point I want to leave you with today. I want you to be on watch. Be on watch. Watch for the signs. Pay attention to the signs, because the same question the disciples are asking is the same question I've heard asked my whole life. When is Jesus coming? When is he coming? I've told this before, but I remember. It was a Sunday service, and we had heard preaching about the coming of the Lord in the Sunday service, and I just went, you know, out after the service was over, went to the restroom, and I'm just in the restroom washing my hands, and I remember a man by the name of Rudy Hennigan come walking into the restroom. He had been a Sunday school teacher in my life, in my formative years. I knew him well. Our family knew him well, and he came into the restroom and just announced and said, you know what, Daryl, you'll never learn to drive a car. You'll never get married. Because Jesus is coming back before you will learn and know how to do any of those things. I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and I remember just being arrested with fear. I wasn't excited about the Lord coming back. I wanted to drive a car. I wasn't excited about his return. I wanted to get married. It didn't sound exciting to me. No, it made me nervous, and everybody wants to know when. So all of my life, I've heard Jesus is coming right now. And because if you've been raised around the church or in atmospheres like this, you've probably heard this just the same. And maybe you're new today and this teaching is new to you, and you're saying, whoa, I need to take inventory of my life. I don't know if I'm ready or not. Everyone wants to know when will Jesus return? And Jesus says, it's not about when, it's about watch. It's not about when I'm coming back, it's about watching and waiting for my return. I read this week that there are about 16,000 people a year who suffer injuries because they are walking, looking at their cell phone, and not watching where they're going. And they step into manholes, they step off of curbs, they fall off of ledges, they do all kinds of things because they're not watching, they're not paying attention. We have to watch. I remember prophecy revivals as a kid. We had actual revivals where they taught about end time prophecy. Those would be the largest attended services that we had all year long. Everyone would come. The building would be packed. There would be overflow set up in the lobbies. Why? Because everyone wanted to know when is Jesus going to return? And what that translates to is, I need the date. I need the time. I need to know exactly when it is going to be so that I can come running in here on two wheels the night before Jesus returns and get everything right. You know good and well that's the way our flesh thinks. So this man in 1988 wrote a book called 88 Reasons that Jesus was coming back in 1988. It sold 4.5 million copies. 1988, I remember, I was about, I don't know, 16 years old. I remember it distinctly. And he had a date in there. And I remember being in school on that date and thinking, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Looking around for anybody that I thought might have made it. Did I miss it? Well, obviously, he did not return in 1988. So the man wrote a book in 1989, 89 Reasons. That book didn't sell any copies, by the way, because no man knows the day nor the hour when Jesus is going to return. But he said there are signs. There are signs, and I want you to be on watch. In verse 6, he talks about wars and rumors of wars. I've studied this week. It's fascinating. Currently, right now, we have several hundred conflicts going on, spanning some 70 different countries in the world. Hundreds of conflicts going on. I mean, wars and rumors of wars. I know you hear about Ukraine and Russia, and right now it's all about Israel and Palestine and Iran and Syria and Turkey and all of these different players that are involved and positioning themselves and all of these things happening around us. And because we've been through this and because, you know, we haven't had anyone drafted in many, many, many years, and because so many of these wars now are fought in the air or with, precision strikes and certain targets are taken out. We're not feeling it as much. We're not thinking about it as much. But there are wars and there are rumors of wars. He said it is a sign of my coming. And then verse 7, he speaks about famine. 2019, they estimate that there was 850 million people that were food insecure, people that did not have enough food. 149 million people classified as starving, meaning if they do not get food now, they will die within just a few days. We started a food program in latter part of 2020, early 2021, and still feeding, you know, 150, 160 families every single week, because people are struggling and people are food insecure and people are needing help. It is a sign of last days. It is a sign of end times. And then in verse 10, he said, people are going to hate and people are going, the King James says that many, many will be offended. Offended. I mean, hello. Everyone is offended. Everyone is upset. It seems like the whole world is in a bad mood. Everyone is quick-triggered. Everyone is short-tempered. Everyone is offended. It is a sign of the end time. Jesus said, when you see these things happening, the Bible mentions pestilence. I mean, yeah, we had one that shut down the world. Still feeling the effects of it. We can't get any salt and pepper on the table because there was a pestilence. There was pandemic. It talks about earthquakes. Already there has been 20,000 earthquakes. 55 are registered a day. And they have to be a certain magnitude to even be considered, you know, a major earthquake. 55 happen a day. You just hear about one or two occasionally. If it fits into the news cycle, we have to be on watch. Number two, we have to be in the Word. We have to be on watch, but we also have to be in the Word. There are millions of books in the Library of Congress, but only one is alive. What does that mean? That means when you read this book, it reads you. When you read this book, it is alive and comes alive for you and to you, and you see yourself on the pages, and it speaks to you and directs you and orders your steps and lights your path. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the Word of God more than ever before. We don't need man's opinion. Cute stories are just cute stories. We need a word from God. I say it often. I'll continue to say it. We're going to do our best to preach the entire Bible right here. It's not about my opinion. It's not about what I think is best. It is what is thus saith the word of God, because that's what we need in 2023. We need a word from God. We need truth. You know why? Because truth is what sets us free. If you need freedom in your life today, if you need deliverance in your life today, if you need breakthrough in your life today, then what you need is a word from God. I know deliverance ministry is all the rage right now. If I can get so-and-so to lay their hand on me, or if I can get so-and-so to whisper in my ear, that's not so much my interest. That's not my focus. Let me get around some Bible-based teaching, because the Bible said that the word will renew my mind. It will change the way I think. I may have woken up thinking I'm an addict or thinking I'm a failure, but if I can get in this word, I'm going to leave believing that I am an overcomer. Nobody whispered in my ear. No one even laid hands on my head. I heard a word from God, and that word made me free. Lord, I feel the Holy Spirit in this room today. Be in the word. We need to love people, but we need to be unmovable in our convictions. Because conviction today is a dirty word. That's a cancelable word. That's a word that'll get you thrown out of a lot of rooms. Conviction. That's my conviction. I'm not moving from my conviction. Oh, but your conviction means you're judging someone else. No, I'm not judging anybody. I'm standing on my conviction. Oh, but if you say that, you're looking. No, I'm not looking down on anyone. I'm not judging anyone. I'm not throwing stone at anyone. I am standing on the word of God. I'm sorry, the word offends people. I'm sorry, the word separates people. I'm sorry, the word points out that there is no gray area. It's either black or white, right or wrong, holy or unholy. It's either lost or found. It is the word of God. I'm so tired of being told that I am judged. I'm not judging. God is your judge. I pray you're in heaven, but I'm going to live by my conviction. Is this too much today? Probably. Because the word offends us. And guess what? The Bible says you're going to know you're in the word because the word will rebuke. And the word will correct. And the word is a two-edged sword. What does swords do? They cut things away. That's what the word does. If I'm offended by the word, it could be that I have something in me that is not in agreement with the word. I got to get rid of that. I've got to come to terms with that. I've got to take that to an altar. I want to love people, but I'm going to be unmovable in my convictions. And I got a lot of people that I love. I got a lot of people groups and people that live all kinds of lifestyles and do all kinds of things. I love them. They know that I love them. But I am not changing my conviction for anyone. 2 Timothy 4 and 3 says, a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. When you study that, the Greek word, their itching, their own desires, it means what is forbidden according to the scripture. When you look at itching ears. It's a Greek word, natho, means only pleasant to their ears. Only pleasant to their ears. And I don't name ministries or pastors from pulpit. I'm gonna keep it classy, but there are popular pastors that are gravely concerning me in 2023. People that I've looked up to, people that I have revered and respected, but now they want to say the Bible is just a book. It's not the book, it's just a book. And that's not what we need to align our lives with. Well, what do you have that's better than this? Are you suggesting that your opinion, your way, your teaching is better because all you're trying to do is make yourself God? I've already got a God, and I like him. I'm going to stick with him. Popular. If I started naming some of the songs that he's written, incredible, unbelievable, a pastor's kid that was leading worship and then went you know, on the big stage of CCM and gospel music and writing all kinds of songs. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I mean, all kinds of songs that I've sung for years and years on platforms and stages, but went completely, denounced all of it, walked away from all of it, said all of it was a lie, said every bit of it was crazy, and he never believed any of it while he was singing it. And now he is trying to come back, and I pray for him. I pray for him all the time because I appreciate the gift that's in him. And the Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If he calls you, then he's going to keep trying to save you and redeem the gift that he placed inside of you. And I don't follow him on social media, but every now and then his profile comes up or one of his posts pop up in suggested feed, you know, and I'll just read some of that and I'm just blown away as he's trying to come back. He's asking people, tell me what church you think I ought to go to. Tell me what church you think I should go to. And people are in the comments just, you need to go to this one. We're inclusive. We're this. We're that. All of the buzzwords of the day. We're all of that. We're everything except conviction. We allow everything except the unadulterated, inerrant word of God to be declared. Because if we declare the inerrant word of God, it's going to tell you that is not of God. And then you're going to have to choose this day who you are going to serve. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The reason we have 27 value meals at Chick-fil-A, and the reason you pull up to Whataburger and they got 13 different options of burgers is because everyone has a hard time choosing. And when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to get right or get left, be saved or be lost, we have a hard time choosing because our flesh likes what it likes. This is too much, huh? I hope y'all come back next Sunday, but if you don't, I love you, but I'm going to stand on this word. And I hope you know, if you're just meeting me for the first time, oh, is this guy tough? No. I will walk with you. I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care what you're battling. If you knew some of the things that were in this church and sitting on your row and around you today, we can't even get up and tell the things that God's doing. can't get up and talk about it. I wish we could put it on video and put it on social media. We can't. It's too private. It's too personal. It's too unbelievable. But listen, we will walk with you, and there is no judgment, and there is no unkindness, and there is no one pointing a finger at you. It is love. Come on. You're my brother. You're my sister. Let's walk. Let's walk, because Jesus is coming back, and we've got to be ready for his return. Oh, God, have mercy. I don't know if it's turning 51 years old. I don't know if it's having a 17-year-old. I don't know if it's having a 19-year-old on one of these college campuses, and colleges have gone crazy. But I want to be right with God, and I do not want to be lost. 2 Timothy chapter 3, He lays it out. He said, mark this. You need to mark this in time. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. He said there's going to be people who are lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. Not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. He wraps it up by saying, have nothing to do with such people. That would almost permit you or cause you to think, well, that's why I just don't fool with sinners, you know. No. He's talking to people that know better. The cause of wickedness, the love of many, it's gonna wax cold. People that know better. Let me say this today. We don't need to be afraid of the end times. We need to be afraid of missing what God is saying about the end times. Don't miss the signs that tell of his coming. Because I promise you, every 60-second clip on social media, they're trying to dumb it down and just reduce it and just tell you that things that used to matter no longer matter. They have been saying now for months and months that we need to update the Bible because it's way out of date. Don't miss the signs that tell of his coming. Because Paul went on in that letter to Timothy, he said, verse 3, 16 and 17, all scripture, all of it, Old Testament, New Testament, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Be on watch. Be in the Word. And here's the third point I want to leave with you today. Be a witness. I believe Jesus is calling every single one of us, mandating every single one of us to be a witness in these end times. He said it. He said it in verse 14, Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. I know in the last week or so, Free Chapel, Pastor Jensen Franklin was in revival, unannounced revival. Perry Stone came for one service and stayed for 10. My wife and I and Jude were able to be in one night in person and watched most every night in our home. I was blessed and it was beautiful. And I heard Pastor Jensen say that of the previous night, or I'm sorry, over the course of the first week of revival, they had 2.2 million people across their social platforms, Facebook, YouTube, their website, 2.2 million people. We talk about how can the whole world hear the gospel? Well, God is using every medium, every avenue, so that we can be a witness. But, I hope you don't think that your most effective witnessing tool is what you post on social media. Invite someone to church this weekend. Come to church with me this weekend. That's awesome. I do it too. I invite people by way of social media, but there is nothing that takes the place of looking someone in the eye and saying, hey, I want to share something with you. I want to tell you what Jesus did in my life. Be a witness. Because the end times are not taught so that you and I can escape. He didn't give us the signs so that you and I could just, you know, save ourselves. No, he gave us the signs so that as God-fearing people who want others to know who Jesus is, help others see the signs of the time. Who needs to know? Everyone needs to know. Everyone needs to know. What would happen this week if just the people in this room, the people that are online with us right now, what would happen if everyone in this room said, I'm going to find three people this week. I'm going to find three people. I'm going to invite them to church. We've got invite cards out on these tables and in the lobby. It's a great conversation starter. Hey, I want to give you this. What is this? It's an invitation to go to church with me. We're in a series right now about the times, and it's not scary. It's not, you know, nobody's judging. I want all of my friends. I want my family to know. There's so much going on in the world right now. There's so much happening in our lives right now, and maybe you're feeling overwhelmed. Maybe your marriage is in crisis, and maybe your finances are a mess, but oh, I'm telling you, I was living all of that, or I was going through all of that, and Jesus has done a miracle in my life. It's hard to type all that up in a social media post that anyone will read every word of, but oh, if I can look someone in the eye and they can feel my heart, they're gonna know I'm not judging them. Being a witness because I want them to know. We can't water it down to win more people. It takes what it takes to be saved. It takes what it takes. And I don't want to miss it. Father, I pray today for hearts in this room and online with us this morning. I pray today for not just information to find a landing place in our head and our heart. I I pray, Lord, that our spirit would come alive, and that there would be an urgency born within us. It's not this idea of I'm going to make sure I'm sitting in front of the news every night so that I can, I'm looking, what are they going to say about this or what are they going to say about that? No, I'm living with an awareness that, Lord, the things that you are saying would happen as a sign of your soon coming, I'm seeing those things happen. And so now is not a time to be casual in my commitment. Now is not a time to just be whatever about how worthy you are. Now is the day of salvation. I need to awake out of sleep. I need to awake out of sleep and recognize there are signs. I don't want to miss them. In Jesus' name. I don't want to miss them. I don't want to miss them. I'm praying for people in this room today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And you may be here today saying, you know what, Pastor Darrell, I listen to every word you preached, and I'm not sure if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm where I need to be. But I want to know. And I want to leave today with the confidence of salvation in my life. I am ready. If Jesus were to come tonight, you think it's going to be tonight? I don't think so. I mean, it just seems like such a normal, regular day. But he might. And I've got to be ready. And if you're in this room and you want to know that you are ready, just boldly say, you know what, I'm going to lift my hand. I want you to pray for me because I want to be ready. Who am I praying for today? No one's looking around. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you. I want you to open your mouth today and pray, because I can want you to be saved and I can pray passionately, but there is no prayer like the prayer you pray, asking God to move in your life. Why don't you stand with me across the room, everyone? Our team is going to sing today. And Father, I pray hearts and minds and spirits in this room, Lord. I thank you for forgiving us of our sin and cleansing us today. Thank you for changing our lives. Thank you for changing our hearts. Thank you for changing our minds, Lord. We give it all to you. Give it all to you, including ourselves. We lay our lives down, Lord, at the foot of the cross. Save us. Use our testimony. Use our lives to be a witness, to make a difference for someone else. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God praise in this room today.